Well, it is good to be here this morning. Feel this wonderful spirit. Makes you want to run and shout, doesn't it? Feel that spirit of God. What will it be like when we have the spirit without measure? I can't imagine what kind of services we'll have, the way it'll fill our souls up. Wanted to give you a little report on Brother Smith. He's in Los Angeles, Southern California. Brother Green's cousin, I can't say it, cousin, is out there. He pastors 19 churches, and Brother Smith's been praying about it. They've been wanting him to come out and visit with them, so he's out there. He'll be back before Wednesday service. So we've been praying for him that God would use him and would help him. And then it's good to see Sister Wilkins come in. Hallelujah. Just does our heart so much good to see our faithful saints come in. And we appreciate Sister Wilkins. And she's here as often as she can. And so we appreciate that. Brother and Sister Crow, she's been asking for prayer requests, and she's been talking about her sister up north in, is it Missouri? Is it Elkton? Her sister passed away. And so they're up there right now, and I know they'll be in need of prayer for themselves and for the family. And I appreciate all of you. And then Brother Michael and Sister Cindy and Brother Nathan, they're in Dallas right now with their family. They'll be back later tonight. We miss them and the strength that they bring to the church. And then I guess Brother and Sister Oates, they may be up in Republic, Missouri. And then there's a couple others missing here. But God sent us some good help. He sent us Brother and Sister Lucas. Aren't we thankful for them? I do want to let them know, I asked them to sit on the platform, but we have wireless mics. It's not hard to get to you. We know where you're at. We're really thankful for them. They came up Thursday morning. They spent Thanksgiving with Brother and Sister Stewart. And I said, "My, isn't Sister Stewart a good cook?" I said, if you didn't gain at least 3 to 5 pounds, then you need to stay a little bit longer. So we really appreciate them and their entire family being here. And I just appreciate all of you. I look out and y'all just look so good. We didn't have church Wednesday, and it feels like a month for me. And I'll tell you what, I appreciate the Spirit of God so much. I appreciate that God called my name one day, and he helped me to answer. That's what it says. He said, "Call us, and we will run after you." And I appreciate that. I've never been sorry that God brought me this way. It's the best thing, I think, that's ever happened in my life. And I appreciate, did you know there's in the Bible it talks about a principle? It's a principle of sowing and reaping. And I believe David said this. He said, know this. He said, what you sow, or Solomon said that, what you sow, you shall reap. And I think all of us can agree that if we all reaped what we've sowed in life, that we would have a poor crop coming up. That would all of us, like Paul said in Romans, we've all come short. We've all sinned. Every one of us. We're just sinners saved by grace. We were all born in sin and shaping in iniquity. We were all born with that sin nature. And then as good as my mom and dad tried to raise me, I wasn't raised in church. But even if you were raised in church, as good as your mom and dad tries to raise you, there's still something down inside that needs to be saved. Every one of us are in need of a Savior. Every one of us are in need of a personal relationship with God and His Son. That's why I'm so glad in St. John chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, it talks about God and His Son, Jesus, dwelling down inside of us. That's what Jesus said. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Are you troubled today? Jesus is telling you, don't let it be troubled. He said, you believe on God? Believe in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I used to think that what he was talking about, that he was going to go back to heaven and build me a mansion, Brother John. I used to kind of daydream about what it looked like, because they told me the more that you did for God, the bigger it would get. Well, I thought, oh, God, I don't know what mine's going to look like. It's just going to be, you know, I mean, I'd almost be ashamed. What if they put you right next to Billy Graham? He got this, I don't know, that people used to tell me, they said, heaven is a perfect cube coming down from heaven. It's a 1,000 miles high and 1,000 miles wide and 1,000 miles long. That's big. And it's going to come and set on the earth. I thought I wouldn't want to be under there when it lands. But I thought, oh, I hope they don't put me next to, what would even be worse? What if they put you next to the Apostle Paul? I mean, he's got this big, huge mansion made out of gold and gates of pearl and the windows are diamond and you've got a little lean-to. That's what mine would look like. I'd be ashamed. I wouldn't even come out. I'd be so ashamed. Somebody, they told me, they said, those things aren't important. They said, you realize, they said, when the Bible talks about a street of gold and gates of pearl and mansions, they said, that's not what's going to make you happy up there. I used to daydream, well, you know, if the street, and by the way, it doesn't say the streets of gold. It says the street of gold, singular. There's just one street. There's just one way. There's one body. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's just one. You know, if there was an actual street of gold and it was stretched 1,000 miles, gold wouldn't mean anything, would it? The reason gold is precious now is because there's not a lot of it. You just don't go anywhere and find gold. You can't walk outside and say, oh, looky here. I found me a big old chunk of gold. Well, if everything was made of gold, it would be like going out to the asphalt street right there and saying, well, looky here what I found. I think I'm going to take this home. We're rich. I got me a chunk of asphalt. That's not what's going to be important in heaven. Those things, don't you realize when we get there, we're going to have eternal life. We're going to be with Jesus Christ and all the other saints that's going on ahead. Gold and diamonds and jewels, those things aren't important. Those things are all symbols and types and shadows of the goodness and the riches of God. Just like it says, and in the midst of the city, there is a street of gold. That's why Jesus said, he was talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they were constantly trying to tear his doctrine down. But Jesus said about them, he said, they put heavy weights on the people, and they won't take one of their fingers and lift heavy weights. And he says, they're blind leaders of the blind. He said, they're hypocrites. He said, they're full of dead men's bones that men walk over and don't even know that they're there. He said, they're in a ditch. He said, if the blind lead the blind, and they both fall into the ditch. He said, you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass land and sea to make one proselyte. In other words, to get one follower after them. He said, and when you do, you make them two more fold a child of hell than you already are. And he said, woe unto you. And then he pronounces all those woes upon the Sadducee religion, the Pharisee religion, the Essenes, the Elamites. You know, back there, they had the same kind of a situation back there in the early churches like we did when Jesus came on. There was all kinds of beliefs, all kinds of doctrines. People had different ways. The Pharisees, they believed in life after death. The Sadducees didn't. The Essenes believed that you had to live a pure life, and another one believed that you could do whatever you want. One doctrine believed that you had to get away from the Roman Empire. Another one believed that you had to submit yourself underneath it. And so when Jesus came to that world back there, it was a divided world, not just naturally, but even spiritually. God's people were scattered. They were divided. They all lived in one geographical area, but they didn't have anything in common. That's why Jesus said this. He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. That didn't mean that he didn't have a house or he didn't have a bed. He simply meant there's no organization out here that will recognize me as being their head, as being their leader, as being the Son of God. And I've often thought, as many things that Jesus did, he healed the blind, he raised the dead. One time, Brother John, he took a little boy's sack lunch, just a little bit of fish and a couple rolls, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave the pieces to the 12 apostles, and they probably started out, they looked out, there was 5,000 men, besides the women and children, maybe 20, 25,000 people. Jesus, you know, they had to have a lot of, just once in a while, did you ever have any of your children roll your eyes at you? You know, you tell them to do something, they go, or maybe give a big sigh. I can just imagine Thomas, old doubting Thomas, going, you know, Jesus broke that little boy's lunch. It wasn't a big lunch, a little sack lunch. Broke it up, and he probably gave Thomas a little sliver of fish and one little roll and said, here, go out and feed 25,000 people. And Thomas probably went, okay, well, you the boss. But when they got done, it said they fed all of them and they gathered up 12 baskets. I'm thinking, what an amazing thing. And then after he preached his message, they all got up. All of them got up and they turned their back on them and they walked out. And I thought, oh my. I used to have the big head thinking, if I was back there, I would have been at least one of the 120. I'd probably been one of the 12 apostles. In fact, I probably would have been Peter. You know, I would have been Peter. I would have been right there with them. But no, except for the grace of God, I would have been one of those that turned their back on Christ and walked away. I'm telling you, it's just the grace of God that has us here today. If you're here, it's because God loves you. If you're here, it's not because you're so good, not because you're so pretty, not because you got so much money, not because you have anything to offer God, but God loves people and he wants you to be saved. That's why God sent his son. He said, God so loved the world, including you and me, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish, but should have eternal life. The reason you're here is because God loves you. And his grace has been working on us. And I'm thankful for that today. I'm thankful for that. But when Jesus, he came to that world and they were divided and they were scattered, the Jews. And he said, I've come to build a church, which was a funny thing to say because back in those days, there was a church on every corner. They didn't call them churches, but they called them synagogues. Kind of like there is today. You can just drive down any road. There's a church here. There's a church here. There's a church there. There's a church over here. But God's people are divided. The leadership won't let them come together. They won't let God's people come together. But Jesus said, I came to build a church. Jesus went to those religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he dealt with them, talking about the kingdom of heaven, talking about the Son of Man, talking about all these wonderful things. In one place, he even told them, he said, if you don't believe me for the word's sake, in other words, if you don't believe what I'm saying, then believe me for the work's sake. Just look what God has done through me. But they couldn't even, it would be hard, I think, to reject somebody that just got done raising somebody from the dead. But they did that. Hundreds of thousands of people did. In fact, they tried to put him to death. Why? He didn't fit their idea of what he was supposed to be. God, help us to get wrong ideals, wrong conceptions of God out of our mind. Help us to open our mind up and say, Lord, what are you like? Would you reveal yourself to me? God, come into my life, Lord, and make yourself so real to me that I can see you. Touch my eyes, Lord. Touch my ears, Lord, that I can hear your voice and I can see you. And then give me a vision of what you're doing today. Finally, Jesus, after dealing with all those religious leaders, he told them, he said, there was two of his disciples come up to him. They said, Lord, and he started getting hard on him. And they said, Lord, don't you know you've offended the Pharisees? And he said, let them alone. He said, just let them alone. They'd be blind leaders of the blind. And who did Jesus deal with? He dealt with the poor. He dealt with those who were the outcast. He dealt with those who were didn't fit into society real good. Those were the ones, like Mary Magdalene. One of his apostles was a tax collector, just poor fishermen. All those people were seeking after something. They finally found it in him. Well, when he came to that world, he told him, he said, there's going to be a, he was walking through, we talked about this in Bible study, he was walking through a barley field, and no doubt the barley was just coming out of the ground. And they were looking at natural things. Jesus started talking to them about parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man that went on a journey. And they're probably going, what is he talking about? The kingdom of heaven is like a man that went on a journey. Or the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who lost a coin in her house. Well, they were having problems understanding those things. But when Jesus got them along, he expounded upon those things. He said, for you, it's meet to know the mysteries of God. But for those that are without, he said, they can't realize those things because the God of this world has hardened their heart. Well, that's going on today. The God of this world has hardened people's heart. Brother Talley and I, we were talking about that. It's hard to get people to want to serve God. I remember when I was growing up, when I was 10 or 12 years old, they'd have Billy Graham crusades. People would come down by the thousands. But nowadays, you got to beg them. You got to plead with them. You got to promise them things. And even then, they have a hard time turning from the ways of this world. The hooks and the snares and the net of this world has got people trapped so hard that it's hard to break loose from those things. They're bound. In fact, Paul said this. He said, know you not to whom ye yield ye members to obey? His servants you are. I know there's a lot of young people today that say, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that. You're going to be somebody's servants, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. I want to yield myself to the peaceable fruits of God. I want to let those things grow down in my life, like it says in Philippians, love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. What's the last one? Is it patience? I want those things to grow in me, and that comes through serving God. That comes through having the Holy Ghost. That comes through learning His precepts and His principles. Those are good things. That's the law of sowing and reaping. When you let God sow those things down in your life, which is the good Word of God, and those things, when they start to bear fruit, oh, what a beautiful tree you're going to become. You know what the world has to offer? There's 9 fruits of the Spirit. But there's 17 works of the flesh, or you can call them fruits. You know what those things are? Envy, strife, hatred, jealousies, emulations, fornications, adultery, lying, murder, stealing. The 17 works of the flesh, you can also read them in Philippians there. I want to produce good things. I want my life to have peace. I want my life. In fact, when I first came to the body, that's what attracted me so much I like the doctrine and I like the Spirit, but I looked at your lives and I saw peace in your life. And when I started watching you on a day-by-day basis, I used to tell my wife and she'd tell me, we want what those people have. We'd been serving God for a long time already, but when we came here, we found something that we'd been looking for. I feel like the second chapter of the Song of Solomon was written for me. By night, I rose up off of my bed. Have you ever been, and it was dark by night, have you ever been in a place where your soul was just disquieted, where you didn't have any peace in your life, and you didn't know why? There was no answers. That's a dark condition in your life. That just means that there's no knowledge of God. When the Bible talks about darkness, that just means that ignorance is ruling. And there was a time when ignorance was ruling in my life, and I was in an organization. Couldn't find the measure of God that I wanted to. Nobody could tell me where he was. And so it says, by night I will rise up off my bed and go into the city. And I sought for him whom my soul longeth for. My wife and I, we tried everything. I'm telling you, Brother Dotson, we tried different churches. We tried churches where every time we'd go there, they had personal prophecy. I finally ended up with 7 of the 9 gifts in my life. I had, I was working on the other 2 when we left. I had prophecy and I had tongues interpretation. I had gift of miracles. Healing, had all that. And I was doing a personal prophecy and I didn't satisfy. We, uh, I finally found out, I had a personal prophecy. I had a prophetic utterance for people because I would listen to this man that was doing it. And I finally told him, I said, you know, I know what you're going to say. He said, well, that's God. But when I look back on it, it's because he said the same thing every time. I finally got to the place where I could parrot, yea, thus saith the Lord, Satan has sought thee to sift thee as wheat. But if you would trust the Lord, if you would look unto him, God will make you the head and not the tail, and God will deliver you from those things that plague you and that bother you. Thus saith the Lord will overcome that thing. And we would go on and on. I could do it all. Yeah. And then my wife and I, that didn't satisfy. It left an emptiness. It did for a while, but I went about that city looking for a peace, looking for a satisfaction. You know, God put a place down in our heart that only he can satisfy. The world can't satisfy it. All these other things can't satisfy it. But it says, I and my Father will come and make our abode in you. That's what those mansions are, is making his abode down inside of us when you get the Holy Ghost. That's what that mansion is, coming down and living down inside of us. We don't need a mansion when we get to heaven, but we need a home. We need to be the temple. We need to be the temple that God's going to reside in. That's where he said, I and my Father will come and make our abode inside of you. You can read that in 14, 15, 16, and 17 of John. But then we went to another place, and it was a big church. And we had, this was right before we moved from California to Texas, so we only had three children at that time. That's how long ago it was. And Matthew was probably in diapers or maybe not even born yet. And by the way, he's turning 30. Matthew's turning 30 Tuesday. And he's my number three son, so that makes me feel old. Wherever you are, happy birthday, Matthew. He's been a good son. He hasn't given us any problems, and I appreciate the way that he's raising his family and taking care of his wife and puts God first in his life. I appreciate that in a young man, but I don't even know if he was born. And we went to this church, and we weren't really struggling financially, but we weren't rich, you know. We were making it. But this church, they taught name it, claim it. They said if you got enough faith, you could do whatever you want. And so we went there and we pulled in. We had our Dodge van that later became known as Old Smoky Joe. That's the one we moved from California to Texas. Back then it wasn't smoking, so it wasn't too bad, but it was a big old Dodge van. But we pulled up in there and we drove like 40 miles to get to this church. We heard a lot of good things about it. And all of them were Mercedes-Benz and Cadillacs and big Lincolns. They were all new cars. And we thought, ooh. Ooh. So we walked in, and he started preaching a prosperity message. But you know what? I found out later that godliness with contentment is great gain. If you want to have great gain in your life, don't seek after the riches of this world. You're only going to be able to serve one master. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. He said you're either going to serve God or you're going to serve the mammon. You're going to serve the world or you're going to serve God. You're going to have one master. You're going to be in bondage to one, whether obedience unto righteousness or sin unto death. So we walked in there and they started talking about how if you just had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could go lay hands on that car over there. And you could claim it in the name of Jesus, and it would be yours if you didn't doubt. There was a couple times I never could muster up enough faith. I tried it. We would go by, and we'd pick out a Mercedes or something, and we'd pray. Say, in the name of Jesus, get your hands off there, devil. I'm a child of God. That car don't belong to you. That belongs to God, and I want it. One time I wanted to go up to the pastor of the church and said, look, I can't muster enough faith to get one of these. You got a lot of faith. Why don't you give me your car and you can just pray another one? Did you ever stop to think about that? But I didn't. And we went there for a while. And we tried all that prosperity messages. You know, Brother Smith one time, and I went through this too. I got saved when I was 16, and there was this evangelist came by, and he preached taking the word as medicine. And so what he would do, you know, like when you're sick today, you go to a doctor and he'll write you a prescription. and you take it to the pharmacist and they'll give you a pill, and you got to take this pill 3 times a day for 10 days and whatever it is, you'll be better. Well, this man believed in taking the word as medicine. So no matter what your problem was, mine was eyesight. I wanted, you know, this is, I was 16 and I was in sports, and I've worn glasses since I was the first or second grade. And so he preached, and he had that faith kind of a message too, that if you're a child of God, you'll never suffer. But you know, I look back now and I see how Paul suffered, see how Peter suffered, I see how those saints back there suffered, and I look around us and I think, God, we really aren't suffering any. In fact, Paul said this, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. And when they went through that early church, they did suffer. Some of them even gave their life for Christ and for the gospel's sake. And I look about us, especially on Thanksgiving, and I'm so thankful to be living in a country where we can still worship God in freedom, that we don't have to worry about somebody coming in here and shutting us down, that we can still worship our God. And God's put us, he's given peace for us right now, and we ought to appreciate it. We ought to pray for peace. We ought to pray for the leaders of our nation, that God would hold back the four winds, like Brother Smith was talking about. But this man, he was saying that if you're a child of God, you don't have to wear glasses, you don't have to have acne, you don't have to have, I mean, anything, you name it. So I went up to him, and he gave me this scripture, and he prayed for me. He said, now, you do this 3 times a day, and you just see what happens. And he said, now, I don't want you wearing your glasses back here. Well, Brother Smith kind of did the same thing. He wanted to get rid of his glasses, and there was a man that came to his church, kind of did the same thing, and this one man came down front. Evangelist told him, throw away that cane. He told Brother Smith, he said, throw away your glasses. Well, I think Brother Smith had to end up buying another pair of glasses. And I never did get healed. I'm still wearing glasses. I tried. I really did. You know, but there's a balance in the scriptures. What are our priorities on? I know there's a lot of groups out there that put their emphasis on natural blessings, just being blessed by God naturally. There's nothing wrong with being blessed by God naturally, as long as you use it the right way, as long as you let God be first in your life. There's nothing wrong with those things. If God blesses you naturally and you can keep it in proper perspective, I'd say go for it. But like that one scripture, godliness with contentment is great gain. And physical things. We can be blind naturally and still make it to heaven. We can be lame naturally and still make it to heaven. We can have a lot of physical ailments. Now, I do believe in healing. God's healed me before. God's healed many people in this church before. I had a problem with my hand one time, and I'm a plumber by trade. I couldn't even use my left hand. It hurt so bad. All I could do was put it in my pocket during the day and hope I didn't. Did you ever see a one-handed plumber? They're not real useful. And I went that way for, I mean, it just really hurt. I couldn't grab anything with it or nothing. That went on. I asked a nurse, I said, what is that? And she told me what it was, and she said, you better get that operated on because it'll cripple your hand up. They're going to have to operate and remove that thing. I went, oh, great. I wasn't even thinking about God. So, I mean, here you're in the ministry and you got something wrong with your hand and you don't even come up front for prayer. So I told my wife, I said, what am I doing? I said, I'm going to go up front and see if God will touch me. And I think we ought to do that. But I do think if you're having a heart attack, if there's something going on in your life and you need to get to the hospital right away, you better go. But pray while you're going. But if you have something wrong with you and you can give God a chance or a space to prove himself to you, that doesn't mean God is going to heal you. That just means we're trying to get God's mind for the situation in our life. So I went up front, and I had prayer several times. And over the space of about a month, the thing slowly went away. And I thank God for that. God healed my hand. I never did have to have a surgery. And the thing came back. And we prayed again, and it went away. And we've seen people healed. I've never seen anybody raised from the dead. But that's going to come down here too. I believe that. I believe there's going to be people raised from the dead. I believe that as God draws close to his people down here, he's going to start to manifest his mercy, his grace. He's going to be reaching out and touching people, bringing all into the garner, just like we were singing that song. God is going to have a garner. There's going to be a great harvest down here. And 2,000 years ago, when Paul started planting those seeds of the gospel, well, they took root and they're starting to bear fruit down here today. And just like they had a great harvest down there in that Jewish nation, hundreds of thousands of Jews got saved, made the bride, living forever. The same thing's going to happen down here. There's going to be a multitude, a great multitude down here that God is going to harvest, bring into his kingdom, and is going to make eternal life and be with the Lord, be in heaven. Those are wonderful things. But when Jesus showed up to that world back there, he went to the religious leaders first. When they rejected him, he went to the people. And then on the day of Pentecost, he said, it's expedient. He said, it's important for you that I go away. And no doubt the apostles had a hard time with this because they said, Lord, why do you have to go away? He said, it's important that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter can't come, which is the Holy Ghost. And that happened on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the Lord came back to his people through the Holy Ghost. And that's what he was talking about in Matthew 14, 15, 16, and 17 when he said, I and my Father will come and make our abode in you. That's when people were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake as the Lord gave them utterance. They spake in other tongues because God and his Son was residing right down here in the heart, that little place that only Jesus and God can fit in, that nothing else will satisfy, nothing in the world. Sports won't do it. Money won't do it. A job won't do it. Family relations won't do it. Only God and his Son can fit right there in your heart. And if you try to put anything else in it, it's not going to fit. I know I tried. I tried all different kinds of things. So we went through all these different churches, all these different organizations. We tried the natural healing thing. We tried the wealth thing. We tried the personal prophecy thing. We looked for everything. We were going about the city, just like it says in Song of Solomon. He said, I asked the watchman, have you seen him whom my soul longeth? He said, it was but just a little way past that. I found whom my soul longeth. I found him and would not let him go. I'm telling you, when the Lord showed me the body, when God finally was able to touch my eyes and get me settled. You know, there's four things, there's four steps we go through. Paul said, after we have suffered for a while, the Lord settle, strengthen, establish, make you perfect. You know, the first thing God's got to do in your life, he's got to get you to a place where you can settle down, where you can just slow down enough to hear his voice. It's just like God, when Elijah hid in that cave, there was a great earthquake, but God wasn't in that earthquake. There was a great wind, and God wasn't in that wind. There was a great fire, and God wasn't in that fire, but God was in that still, small voice. Sometimes it's hard for God to settle us down enough so that we can hear his voice. There are so many other voices in this world today that kind of shout louder than God does, but God knows how to get you to a place. God did that with me. God had to make it. Sometimes God has to do things in your life to settle you down long enough to establish you. And when we moved from California to Texas, God was trying to settle me and to show me his great and wonderful body of Christ that he's got in the earth today, was trying to give me a vision, trying to enlighten my eyes like we were talking about in the Bible study. And God had to make it. My van just quit running. It would just quit running and it wouldn't start. Brother Pryor, even you couldn't have fixed it. I'm convinced of that. As good a mechanic as you are, because we had a good mechanic in our church. He worked on it. He said, it's fixed. And we were going through some really hard financial times when we first moved to Midland, Texas, and we met Brother and Sister Smith, started going to the church in Republic there, and God started touching us. But we were under some extreme pressure. And my brother-in-law called me. I was in construction at that time. He called me and said, I need you back here in California. He said, my company has got big, and I need somebody I can trust. He said, how much would it cost? What do I have to pay to get you back here? You name the figure, and I'll send you some money to get out there. You know how tempting that was to me? Because I was making $5 an hour at that time. it sounded good because I could have just named my own price, but God was doing something. God was trying to slow me down. He was trying to settle me down so that he could talk to me, get my eyes off the things of this world. I'll tell you. And then all of a sudden we started having van problems. And we were living in an apartment complex, and I had two children and babies, or two children in diapers. Paul had just been born, and Matthew was still in diapers. That's how long ago it was. And so all of a sudden we started having van problems. And the mechanic in the church, he worked on it, couldn't fix it. So finally, Brother Smith, he got it down to the Dodge dealer, spent a lot of money on it. And the Dodge dealer said, okay, it's fixed. So we went over to pick it up. I got in the van, and on the way back to our apartment complex, the thing broke down again. Finally, God spoke to Brother Smith and said, just let it be. I'm trying to settle him. I'm trying to keep him here. If this van was working, he'd be out of here. Now, I look back now, if that van would have been, for 6 months, we could not get that van working, no matter who worked on it. And I believe that was the hand of God trying to settle. Most people aren't that extreme. Most people, God doesn't have that problem, but I must have been hard-headed. Most people, God can just start to slow them down, to settle them down so that they can hear the voice of God. But God had to do some of those. Every once in a while, God will have to do those things. So the process that we go through, after you have suffered for a while, the Lord settle, strengthen, establish you. You know the Lord's trying to strengthen you, and you know how the Lord strengthens you? By his precepts, by hiding his word down in your heart, by letting God put his character, his nature down inside of you, and you start to take on those things. That's called grace. Most people think grace, that's just unmerited favor. Grace is just simply God's love reaching out to us, causing us to come down to the front and forgive us of our sin. That is a part of grace. But the other part of grace is God's character and nature being developed down inside of us. That's why Paul said, let that same mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's a big commandment right there, to have that same mind, to have the same mindset, and that just simply means God's character is to be written on the fleshly tables of our heart. Not tables of stone like he did Moses and the Ten Commandments, but the fleshly tables of our heart. And when they start to shine out, when it starts to change our nature and our character, that's God's grace working down inside of us. And that's why Paul in one place said that you might be partakers of my grace, talking about Paul. That used to bother me because I thought, wait a minute, how can we be a partaker of Paul's unmerited favor? But when you start to realize that the good things that God had put down inside of Paul, if those people that were under Paul's administration, if they would allow God, Paul could take those things that had been deposited in his life and put them in theirs. If they were buying, the Bible says you got to buy the truth and sell it not. Did you know you're buying the truth all the time? Every time you come to church, every time you go to a meeting, every time you open the Bible, every time you read, every time you get counsel, you're buying the truth. And then the Bible says, sell it not. Don't sell it out. Don't let go of it. But just like it says in the second chapter of the Song of Solomon, I found him and held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's tent. Thank God for people like that, that keep striving after the things of God, that keep working on doctrine, that keeps working on the Spirit of God, that keeps working on the order of God. Thank God for the body of Christ. And I appreciate him bringing me and my family here. And he's been working on establishing us and strengthening us. And the next step in that is after he's can slow, you know, it's hard for people to come in and just to learn to be faithful in church, to come here every time the church doors open. That's where we get our nourishment. That's where we get our strength, is when we meet together as a body, whether locally or we go to the big general conventions we have where there'll be 2,000 or 3,000 people. That's where we get our strength. That's where we get our sustenance. But then as the Lord starts to strengthen us, we become established in his ways, in his character, in his nature. We finally get to the place where we aren't thinking about running anymore. And that's when God has fully have us established. And then the last step is make you perfect. to get you to the place where you're a perfect overcomer, to get you to the place where you can fulfill Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I'm telling you, that's coming. God's going to have that down here just like he had that in that early church. God's going to have such a great manifestation of his grace as he draws close to his people that we're just going to reflect it. We can't help but reflect his nature, his character, as long as we're meek. As long as we don't resist the things of God, as long as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, God is going to raise up a people. So I'm thankful today for God's goodness, his mercy, and his grace, and for his body. And I got up to open the service and take up prayer requests and receive the tithes and offerings. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's pray for Brother Smith as he works and labors in Los Angeles. Let's pray for Sister Bonnie Smith. She's not feeling very well. Let's pray that God would touch her. Let's pray for Sister Wilkins. Let's remember Sister Rice. Let's remember Brother and Sister Crow and the family during this time of loss. And let's remember Brother and Sister Wallace and Brother and Sister Weaver. What other prayer requests do we? Let's remember Brother Weiniger. He's not here today. Let's pray that God would strengthen him after his surgery. And it's good to have, is that Sister Wallace? Is that the name? Sister Wallace? It's good to have you here. We're thankful to have you. We hope we can make you feel comfortable, and we want you to come back. Around here we say you got to come back at least 7 times, because we don't have a service alike. So if you come back 7 times, we think you'll fall in love with it. So we appreciate you being here. We appreciate all of God's people. What other prayer requests do we have? Sister Yvonne. Good. Yeah, let's continue to pray that God would touch Brother Spencer or Leslie Spencer. It's good to see, Brother Spencer here. We've been praying for him a lot. Every service we've had prayer. Isn't it good to have him back? Hallelujah. Yeah. The whole Golden family, a lot of prayers have gone up for you. We appreciate that. What other prayer requests do we have? Couple neighbors for Brother Paul. For Sister Elsie did? Let's pray for Sister Elsie then. Sister Wilkins? Yes. Sister Abraham? Yes, Sister Abraham's family. I wanted to mention how good it is to have Brother Hugh here. I knew I was going to like Brother Hugh when he walked in and he had a study Bible. I thought, well, this is a man after my own heart. So we appreciate Brother. Don't we appreciate Brother Hugh being here? Yeah. Glory to God. God adds to the church daily. We don't vote you in and we don't vote you out. If you show up, and God will add you. We're thankful for that. What else? What other prayer requests do we have? All right, well, why don't we stand up and we'll take these prayer requests to the Lord, then we'll receive your tithes and offerings, and we want to give room for other people here today to work and labor. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, God. We want to bring all these prayer requests, Lord, before your throne, because we do need your touch. God, would you touch the Crow family, Lord? Help them, Jesus, in their time of loss. For Sister Wilkins' family, for Sister Abraham's family. God, touch them. Deal with them, Lord. Help her children, Lord. God, for Sister Elsie, touch her, Lord. Touch her body, God. Brother Weiniger, strengthen them, Lord. Raise them up. Give them peace. Give them comfort during this time of surgery, God. These unspoken prayer requests, Lord, would you help them? All these things, Lord, for Brother Leslie, God, keep touching his body. For Brother Spencer and the Golden family, Lord, we thank you that they're here today. God, keep touching them, helping them, Jesus. All these other prayer requests, Lord, we need your help. Need your guidance, Lord, and bless this offering, Lord. Use it for your kingdom, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Before you, before you're seated, just turn to somebody and say, I'm so glad you're here, and shake their hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Appreciate your faithfulness and giving.
the opportunity that I have here to be here and to feel what I feel. But it's one thing to feel what we feel, but it's a whole nother thing to understand what you're feeling and to recognize the depth of it and how important it is. I appreciate that that I have that opportunity and my eyes open to that. I'm thankful for everybody here. And the way you have received us and made us feel welcome. I made a comment to someone earlier that it's not many times that we get to sit here where we're not shoulder to shoulder with somebody, you know, and fanning. But so it's nice. I coming out of this holiday season this past weekend, a trait of a thankful person, he has a long memory. He doesn't forget easily what has been done for him. You know, the children of Israel, their memory didn't last very long. Here they had probably one of the greatest miracles ever seen on the face of this earth. They got to witness that and be recipients of it. But they turned around not much longer and just totally forgot what God did for them. And it was they're very short memory. That's one thing that I don't ever want to be guilty of. I always want to keep a long memory of and never lose that of what the wonderful things that God has done for me in my life. From an early age, as a child on out, up to this point now, and also into the future that I have faith and confidence in. I have a great confidence in my Lord for more wonderful things than I know is in store, not only for myself, my family, but also for the body of Christ. You talked about a vision today downstairs. That's part of our vision, is the vision of the body of Christ. I think you did touch on that, in fact. I'm thankful for what God's been doing, what's been happening the last, I don't know how long it's been, 8, 10 years now maybe a little longer. I'm thankful for that. It's because, you know, we're all, it doesn't matter where we're from, what part of the country, what our backgrounds are, our economical backgrounds, our social backgrounds, our family, our ethnic backgrounds. In the end, because we're all have that one common bond, that we're all bought with the precious blood of our Jesus Christ, our Savior, and that we also have been filled with that wonderful Holy Spirit, and then we share that same vision, you know, of that church that you talked about downstairs, and a restored church, in the end, that's we all have that common bond. That's a bond that can't be broken. You know, I watched a program recently talked about how it was a history program and how they used iron to build a lot of their structure on buildings and different infrastructure, but it wasn't in other metals, but it wasn't hard enough, so they had to find something harder that can't be broken. You know, this is something. But in the end, now that's something just temporal. It's something that will fade away. Something that rust will finally take its toll. Time will take its toll. But, you know, in the Bible, you go through all through different parts of the Bible, and there's several times, and I forgot how many times it says it now. It just slipped my mind. But God... different times told people, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what he meaning, he was telling people, that was 1,000 years later, he was still making that point. But what he was saying was, my blessings and my power are good from when Abraham was alive, throughout the endless times. It doesn't fade, it doesn't weaken, it doesn't break, it doesn't take a break. From your family, your children's children, to all the way, you know, it'll be throughout your whole, your lineage. I will take care of them. And so it's something we know that's not temporal. It's something that we can have a great confidence in. And I appreciate that I can have that confidence, knowing that I don't, as far as that aspect, I have nothing to worry about. That everything will be taken care of. I wish I could always keep that in my mind and not worry at things so much, you know, like we tend to do. But you know, he's patient with us, isn't he? He's patient, just like a perfect loving father. You know, is patient with his children. I wish, you know, I lose my patience sometimes. You know, just, I'm sure, like we all will admit. No, we do that. It's like that person said, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. You know, and so, you know, that's how we feel at times, isn't it? But you know, but God's merciful. And where would we be with his wonderful grace and mercy? What would we do, you know, without that touch? And I appreciate what the Lord's done for me. I appreciate what I feel here. And thank you for everything that you have done for us and made us feel welcome.
I feel like my husband has said most of this. He did so well. That's same as my heart, everything that he has to say. But again, I just feel like one of God's favorite kids that I get to be here today and to be with all of you. We knew we were going to try to make the trip. We wasn't sure if we were going to make it to service. And I kept telling my husband, I really wish we could get to church on Sunday. And he says, I don't know. But eventually he says, yes, we're going to go. So I was so glad that I got to be with you and share today. The song that started out, I just came here to praise the Lord, and I really did just want to get here and just praise the Lord with all of you. I'm just blessed to be in your presence. Have such appreciation for what the Lord's doing in each of our lives. And I've made the comment several times to friends and coworkers that I work with that, you know, things have come up in life and just the normal mundane things of life, but then to see the Lord just in every situation, how faithful he is, just to see us through everything in our lives. And he does not forget. He doesn't forget the least thing. He knows our hearts. And if we can just remember and keep that confidence, not cast our confidence away, but if we keep that confidence in him, we know that he is faithful and he will see us through. So again, just glad to be here. Going to take home good things. Appreciate all the hospitality. Wonderful families represented in this church, and love you and appreciate you all. So thank you.
I think it was last Sunday we sang, you know, he woke me up this morning and started me on my way. You know, Lord is, you know, he's just good. I love the Lord, you know, and I'm sure everybody here does, or we wouldn't be sitting here. But just to think about the goodness of the Lord, and you were saying how he, you know, I've been thinking about that all week when you go through trials or thinking about God, meditating on things of God, but and how scriptures come to you when you go through something. And I said, Lord, you know, that's what you planted on my heart. It's not a super, you know, artificial thing on top. It's inside of my heart. And to have that, it makes you a stronger person in God. It makes you more of a Christian, you know, because I know we could proclaim to be Christians and living a Christian life, But when the Holy Ghost quickened your mind to say, now, the Lord has blessed you. And I'm like, well, yeah, I've been around a long time, Lord. I know I have. And I can't complain. You know, I know it's been a rough road sometimes, you know, trying to serve God and do the right thing. But he's so merciful. To hear you say that again today, God's grace, you know, I can't take that for granted. It's his grace that keeps us. It's his grace that wakes us up every morning. It's his grace that keeps protect us, you know, from harm, way. And I'm so thankful. You know, just this past week was Thanksgiving. You know, you're with your family and everybody here, everybody's safe. And Brother Smith was saying last Sunday, we store up our blessings and our treasures up in heaven. I'm like, God, I can't take that for granted. Because I have a vision of the body of Christ, and I know he's real. I know I've heard this message about the restoring of God's church, and I just can't sit here and pretend like I don't like it. I don't understand it, because I understand it at a measurement, just like you just said, precept on precept and line up on line, that God deals with our heart, and he deals with each one of us different to get to that level. Brother Dorham, I don't know if it took me 6 months to say, yes, I need you, Lord. I needed him when I came to the altar, when I came to this body of people. I needed God. I knew I was young. I didn't know what I need, but I knew I needed something. I didn't understand his grace. You know, you hear him say, the Lord loves the world. God gave his son, his begotten son for everybody. You know, we all knew that. But when I got what I got, when I came here, it won't die. It hasn't died inside of me, so it's still there. And you know, I know we can let the Holy Ghost lay dormant. I've heard Brother Lineker preach that, but no, it's too real in my soul. I've heard so much. I believe it. I have a vision, and I'm so thankful. Oh, thankful. That's just all I can say. I'm so thankful. I mean, I try to understand. I can't understand. I can't fathom his grace and his love for my soul. My soul. I know this is my outer man, but it's my soul that it feeds me, that makes me grow more in God. His patience. Yeah, his patience with me. But it's an overcoming process. And if I don't let go, he still got my hand. And I love him today. And I'm so thankful. I'm just so thankful that God watches over all of us and my family. I just wanted to get up and say that. I could feel that presence in here of being so thankful. And his love and his grace and his mercy. You know, I think it says abundantly. You know, that's like the deepest sea, the widest, you know, the highest mountain. I know I don't do everything right. And God still have mercy on me. He's like, get up, dust yourself off. I still love you. You know, you got to keep working on that. You know, and to hear you talk about those spirits, the fruits of the spirit, you know. And I know I still have a lot of those ones over here. But I try to stay focused on the love, patience, long-suffering. That's a desire, is to be more like God. To be more like God, you have to have the fruit of the spirit. And I like that working in me. I can't explain that to someone, but I know you know what it's like to have that working in you. And his long suffering, huh? Thank you, Lord. I just wanted to get up and say how thankful I was. And just for Thanksgiving passing by, we still here, you know, and blessed. My mom is still with me, you know. My sister's brother, my husband, he keep coming to church with me. Today my old man kept saying, I can't move. And he like, and what's wrong with us? I'm tired. So he was going to get dressed. That means I better get up and start getting dressed too. So, and he keeps coming. So I think isn't that a blessing? That's a blessing. I mean, count your blessings, you know what I mean? Woo. I mean, it ain't that mansion. It ain't that car. It's not that house. It's not that job. It's God's blessings. It doesn't. We have to look at it in a different angle about his blessings. It's not material things. I already know it's not material things. You know, we're not rich. I have a job, you know, wish I can leave it, but I have a job. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have jobs today, you know. And, but I know it's the grace of God that keeps us all here. And when he planted my feet here, Brother Durham, I remember how Brother Lincoln used to say, take off your shoes. You're now on holy grounds. I had no idea what that meant until I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit just started working with my heart and my opening my eyes and my ears to hear and to see where I was. And I know it seems like I do take it for granted, but I can't. It's real. It is so real. You know, and it's so fulfilling, you know, for my soul. So I'm thankful. And I appreciate your prayers. And you know, I want to share this with you now, and I really didn't realize how serious this really was until I talked to my daughter yesterday. She said she was at a car wash Thursday night or Friday night or something, at Black Friday thing. And when she came to my house yesterday, she told me that on the phone. But when she told me personally in my face, and she looked at me and said, Mama, it was real. She was washing a car and somebody came up to her and pointed a gun in her face and said, give me your car. And she said, she just looked and said, oh, Lord, help me. And she just got in the car and drove away. And nothing happened. She said she went home and she just prayed and fell out in the Holy Spirit and talking to God. Thank God. I'm like, oh, my God, it could have been worse. It could have been the other way around. I said, that's those blessings and treasures you put stored up in heaven. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. it didn't hit me until when she told me, you know, when she said he cocked it back. Mama, I'm telling you, I'm like, oh, my God. That's more important to me than gold and silver and $1 million. You know? The grace of God covering my family, you know. And I have to say that it's nothing I've done. You know, I tried to sit here and pay that price and listen to the word of God. And he showed mercy, didn't he? He showed mercy for her. And she was so thankful. She was so thankful. And she said she just spoke in tongues for like 30 minutes, thanking God. And thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama, you know, for your prayers. You know, we all say we know we ain't living right, but prayer changes things. Yeah. So I guess I'm through talking, but that's my thankfulness for today. Oh, I praise his holy name. He's so real. He keeps his hands on us. He just showed me that he keeps his hands on us, brother. We know it or can see it or feel it. He does it. He does it. Don't know how, but I know it and I believe him. I can't never stop serving him. Can't stop serving him. I know where the end is. I've heard the revelations. I understand the first resurrection and the second resurrection. I'm just so thankful for his grace. Just continue praying for us.
Little point you made, Brother Lucas, just really to be truly thankful, you got to have a long memory. I'm going to take that with me, because that is so true. It's so easy to forget. We go through things, and at that time, we're thank God, you know, and then a year or two down the road, we're discouraged about something, and you've forgotten what He did for you, you know, how He brought you and kept you. So I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful too. This song just kept coming to me, and I haven't tried it in a long time, but about thankfulness. And the last verse, there's a line in here as I was reading that, you know, it says, daily watching for the promise to be more like you. And I thought, that's one thing that I am thankful for, that I know that it's a daily thing. And daily He will work on me. Daily He will send things my way to help make me more like Him. It's not something down the road years from now where, you know, He's just going to, there you go, you're done, you know. But He is working on me, Sister Tally, day by day. Day by day, He's working on me, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the vision we have and where we are. For the blessings You bestow on my life daily, Heavenly Father, I give thanks unto You.
That was a wonderful testimony. Been a good service, good feeling here. I just can't help but feel that there's one more person that needs to testify while they're here. What's your daughter's name again? No, Brother Sister Lucas. Wouldn't you like to hear from Sister Hannah? She's been here twice, and she's been so quiet, reserved, and we let you slide the first time, but this is the second time, and so we'd sure love to hear from you. Well, we'll get you the third time around. Sister Rochella, what you said about your daughter really touched me. We were on the way to church. My wife was going through one of her old journals, and she's kind of got away from it, but she used to make notes and comments. And my son served in Iraq for 16, almost 17 months, and he was in a really bad place. They went over with 830 men, and 2 to 3 of them got killed every week. And he drove a thing that looked like a tank. But we were in the middle of church service, and Brother Smith stopped us. And I appreciate people, Sister Rochella, that are sensitive to the Spirit. No doubt somebody was praying for your daughter. God watches over us. And right in the middle of service, Brother Smith stopped, and he said, I just feel like, and my son, Aaron, was out of church. He's been out of church for quite a while. But Brother Smith said, I just feel like that we need to stop and pray right now for Aaron. That's the only time in 16 months that the church did that. And so we did, and there was just such a feeling of compassion at God. I'm so thankful God loves his children. He's mindful of us. But that was the same week that he was involved in a firefight. The tank he was in got blown up, and it got disabled, and they radioed for help, and there was 2 people in there. And some other armored vehicles showed up to help. And when they got there, you have to get out of one tank, and you have to hook up this big, huge tow bar to this other tank, and they pull you in. And then there was some 7 infantry. They came under fire because this other tank, it was a armored personnel carrying it, brought 7 men to help. So there was 3 armored vehicles there, and one of them was disabled. That was the tank Aaron was in. So Aaron and the other man in the tank got out, and they were trying to hook up this big, huge tow bar, and they came under fire. And that was the same week, Brother John, that Brother Smith stopped us and said, I feel like we need to pray for Aaron. That's where he got his purple heart. One man, the person he was with, got shot in the chest, and Aaron never found out if he lived. He got medevaced, but Aaron said he felt the bullet go right past his head. And I just feel like if it wouldn't have been for God, I don't know what would have happened. But he ran into the house where the other 7 U.S. Army soldiers were. He was hollering, American, American. He didn't want to get shot. Well, he got airlifted out. But I'm so thankful for God's mercy, that he watches over our children, and watches over us, and he's mindful. And as much as we love our family, he loves them more, Sister Rochelle. As much as we want to see our family come back to God, he wants them to come back even more than what we do. So I'm thankful for God's mercy and his grace. And it touches me when I hear stories like that. It makes me think of my children, how God was merciful. I don't know what I'd do without him. It's been 30 years I've been serving God, and I'd never want to take a day back. He just means so much to me. So why don't we stand, and let's thank the Lord for this wonderful service. And then we have potluck. And no doubt a lot of it's going to be turkey and ham and dressing and mashed potatoes and yams and sweet potato pie and all that good stuff. We want everybody to stay. Brother and Sister Lucas, I know you got a long drive back, but we'd love you to hope you can stay and fellowship with us a little bit before you head back to Illinois. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy. God, we appreciate this time when we can gather together, Lord, in your name. And thank you for the wonderful spirit that we felt, God. And we ask your blessings upon this food. And watch over Brother and Sister Lucas and their family, God, as they travel back home. And keep your hand on them, God. Give them traveling mercy, Lord. Bless this food. Amen. All right. We want our visitors. Band practice.